an appeal and such. Comes a person and said, okay, this avonot I made a bidui this year. The coming year, should I make again bidui on this avonot? I said, yes. Avelot, even that you did not repeat them, you have to. The question is, why? There's a pasuk in Humash. V'hit kadishtem, v'hiyitem kedoshim. Ki kadosh ani Hashem. Very, very surprising pasuk. V'hit kadishtem, what's v'hit kadishtem? You should be holy. V'hiyitem kedoshim. What's v'hiyitem kedoshim? Okay. Should be holy. Isn't that the same repetition of the word? What's v'hiyit kadishtem v'hiyitem kedoshim? So, when a person did a lot of avarot, he wasn't good. He does a lot of wrong things. He comes to make teshuva. Really, he makes teshuva in general. Oh, please forgive me and that. Okay. But then the more he becomes good, he feels how bad it was what he did. He comes to be more, his conscience bothers him more. How could I? He comes to understand how bad it was, and he asks forgiveness again. The holier you become, the more you realize how bad the avon was. Then when you realize, you understand it, you ask again forgiveness. The Beit Kaddishtem, as you become holy, you realize that there is more what to be holy, yet, V'yitem Kedoshim. You know, I said many times that there were two rabbis walking in opposite directions on the day of Rosh Hashanah. One rabbi, very great, walking from east to west. Another one who used to be a student then became a great rabbi, coming from west to east. Then the great rabbi asking the other rabbi, where are you going? He said, oh rabbi, I'm going to pick up what you have thrown. What was it there? The great rabbi came from the tashlich. So I'm going to pick up what you have thrown. He said, well, what does it mean? He said, you rabbi, you have abonot. You too, what did you go for tashlich b'tzolot yam, you made tashlich, for what? But tashlich, maybe for you the abonot, maybe then you did the mitzvah not perfect. There is a perfect mitzvah, that mitzvah not perfect, you consider it. Avera, you feel bad about it. I wish I had it. I want to pick up your abonot. This is what they say. V'hit kadishtem, you become holy, but there is more and more v'hitem kadoshim. From day to day, you become holier and holier. And that's why the avonot that a person does confess this year, he confesses again. That's why David HaMelech said, "V'hatati negdi tamid." I put the avon that you did in front of me all my life. And David HaMelech used to ask again and again and again, is asking again and again forgiveness on all the things that he thought he did wrong. He never stopped at the end of his life asking Hashem forgiveness on them. Then, a person must know that on Kippur there is more of a mitzvah that we call the Rosif Mechol Ala Kodesh. What's the Rosif Mechol Ala Kodesh? We know the day is 24 hours, but the day of Kippur is not 24 hours. You stretch it a little. You take part of the day before, put it on Kippur. You take part of the day after, you put it with Kippur. The 24 become 24 and a half, 25. That's called Shabbat. Mosif Mechol. Wait a minute.
What's the difference?
I didn't come to it. Mosif Mechol Ala Kodesh. Where do we learn the din of Mosif Mechol Ala Kodesh? In Shabbat, there isn't in the Torah. It's not written.
I'm saying that.
Chachamim said you do it, but where is it written? It's written in Kippur. Ve'anitem et nafshotechem v'tish'a l'chodesh v'arev. Me'arev ad arev tishbetu shabbatechem. What's me'arev ad arev tishbetu shabbatechem? Me'arev ad arev tishbetu. What's tishbetu shabbatechem? You have to add on the Shabbat. Make your own also another Shabbat. To the Shabbat that I gave you, the day that I'm giving you. And add on it a lot. Masip, how much Masip? There is a question. But to Sefet Yom HaKippurim, the Oraita. The Torah said in the Torah that you have to add on Kippur, before and after. Comes other days, Shabbat and Yom Tovim, there is no mention. The Rabbi says since Shabbat is called Shabbat, and this is Shabbat Shabbatechem, it's the same. There is a mahloket if the Shabbat, the Sefer Shabbat, the Oraita, or the Rabbanan. But some they say, even if it is the Oraita, it would be, a little would be enough. But Hachamim, they add more. Now this is the question. But Kippur is the Oraita that you have to add. Add to it. That is the Sefer Mehol. HaKodesh. And therefore a person must understand, he shouldn't say sunset. It's not sunset. It's okay. I can do. No, not on Kippur. Be careful. Not because that's, you violate the law of the Torah. And they say, they used to see people that they ignore that mitzvah of the seven, they used to yell at them, mocha'im otam. Why? Mitzvah of the Oraita, you are supposed to correct your friend, no matter what. He may listen, he may not. You have to tell him. Don't say it's better if I don't tell him. Why? If I tell him and he doesn't do it, he has a bigger avera. So why should I make him make a bigger avera? I don't tell him. In Mitzvah de Rabbanan, you're right, but Mitzvah de Oraita, you have to tell him. You can't say, I should tell him or not. And therefore they used to tell even ladies that they are late, they used to warn them, Kippur, be careful, huh? You have to be very careful. There is another reason why I said before that an Arab Kippur, a person should sit to eat light food. I said the custom is what? Especially according to the Kabbalah, that we eat five meals, and the meals we eat fish, and they see the custom also they eat chicken. They try not to eliminate heavy meals like beef and so on, meat on Arab Kippur. Well, I said number of reasons. We said the reasons are for that you shouldn't come to the Tum'ah at night because heavy food. There is another thing also that if you will eat heavy meal, it will disturb him from the ta'anit. And if another reason, you eat heavy meal, you disturb the prayers. No, here is his throat, he has to clean all the time. Then, what are you doing? Then, there is another thing. The more a person eats, the sign of ga'aba. Big shot. He eats without limit. And a person to show achna'ah. When a person has a broken heart, he eats less. He doesn't have the feeling of eating. A person should show on Kippur, there is a mitzvah to eat, but at the same time, don't eat heavy things to show that you don't want to be ge'eh. So in order that you come to the prayer, with a humility, the person really feels bad for the abonot you did. How could he have the heart of taking those heavy meals that he wants to jump on it? There was a question in the books, can we prepare food on Arab Kippur for Matzah Kippur and put it on the fire, you know, on the blecher, they prepare it to do it for Matzah Kippur. They say, listen, comes Kippur, it is on that, for what? For the night after. But Alecha is Muta. It's Shulchan Aruch, comes Sahib, special. even though it was an argument among them, the din is mutar. You prepare the food. You don't want to come Motzei Kippur after the Ta'ani to start preparing that. Yeah, have it. You want to have it on the Blecha, go ahead. You come right away, the food is ready. But anyhow, they don't come, they don't eat right away. They had their coffee, they came warm already. In those days, in the early days, they didn't have what we have stoves of today. To prepare fire and everything took a long time. That's why they were concerned that they would prepare the food before. They put it from the day before. There's a question, should a person put light on Kippur or not? Especially in the bedroom and so on. Should he be with light or without? There are two opinions. Some they say better to have light, not to sleep in the dark. And some they say the opposite, better not to have light. Why? What's the mahlokit about? One says have light, don't go to sleep without light in the room. And one say, no, you should have light. The thing is this. We know that one of the isurim on Kippur, there are five things. Achila, Shetiya, Rehisa, Sikha, Na'ilata Sandal, Tashmisha Mita. Achila and Shetiya considered what? Included in food, eating or drinking. Rehisa, washing, is also one. Sikha, applying any kind of things, oil or perfume or anything on the skin, on the body, is also Asur. Na'ilata Sandal, to wear leather shoes. Vitashmisha mita, being with his wife. Now they tell you, if a person is not allowed to be with his wife on the night of Kippur, then he said, what's better, to have the light or not? There is a din that a person cannot be with his wife when there is a light. It's to be in the dark. Therefore they tell you, listen, if you put light, it's better. You know, when there is a light, he's not with his wife. And suddenly say, no, the opposite. There is a light, he sees her, he gets tempted. Therefore, we came to different opinions, to different customs. Some they do put the light, some they don't. From this year, there is in Parashat Noah, there is there, Tzohar Ta'aseh Lateva. Hashem told Noah, build an ark. And he told him, and this ark, that you build, you told him exactly how long, how wide, you should do every part, three floors to it. Then told him, make tzohar to the teva, put tzohar. What is tzohar? The word tzohar, our rabbis were puzzled with it. What does it mean tzohar? The word tzohar we know like tzahoraim. What tzahoraim? The middle of the day is called tzahoraim. Why? This is the time that the most powerful light that there is, because of the sun, is in the most powerful time. Now, this is Tzohar. Anything that shines bright, it's called Tzohar. Matzhir, Mazhir, there's two words. Tzohar, Zohar. Even the book of Zohar, they call it Zohar. Why? Because Mazhir, shining the Neshama, they say, when you read the Zohar. Now, this is Tzohar. But make something that will make the Teva shine. How do you make to be bright? That means light. But how do I make? What is the thing that I should make that I will make it bright? One said, so I answered, was a halon, a window. One said, no. So how to answer the is even tova. You put some kind of precious stone that gives light, you know, there are certain things. So they even a switch they do, you know, they know. Oh, look, he knows where the switch right away. He wants it, the dog, he puts it, it's lit on. And he goes, something, put something that will give light. One said Eben Tova, one said Halon. What do I argue about? But the argument exactly based on what we say now. What is it? It's written. Kadosh Baruch Hu told Noah, when he goes into the Teva, from the minute he goes in till they come out, they're not allowed to be with their wives. It's good to know. Vayavo Noah, ubanav ve'ishto el ha'teva. First, Noah and his sons and his wife, unshe banav, then said the wives of the children, they came in ha'teva mipene mehamabor. When they came out, it's written vayetze Noah ve'ishto ubanav. What happened? There he put the banim first, and here he puts the isha first. Why? Okay, it tells you. When he was going in, he wasn't allowed to be with the wife. Vayavon Noah ubanav. Ishto neshe banav. By themselves, he is with banav. Because Hashem told him, how can you go and enjoy your life when people, human beings are being destroyed? Kadosh Baruch Hu felt bad for the people that are being destroyed. You have to feel with the suffering of the people. And they were not allowed to be with the wives. So now this is what they, if they were not allowed to be with the wives, the question is, should they have light in the teva? And during the day, it's okay, halon brings light. But during the night, dark. Then should we make it have light? Why? Because he's not allowed to be with his wife. It would be light, one thing. Or the opposite. Light will be tempted. That's why one said, Even Torah, you have to have light. That's why in Kippur we say also the same thing. But one said, no, it's better not to have light. Before there was no Even Torah, it's halon. At night was dark over there. This is the difference between them. This I'm saying, by the way, since we read the menhagim that there is, and our rabbi said that everyone should follow the menhagim of his fathers, what they used to do. They don't do, today they don't put light in the bedrooms. Of course, the difference between Kippur and other fast days, very simple. This is the only fast that's written in the Torah. We know that there is 5 days we fast throughout the year, but one is written in the Torah. The rest are not in the Torah. There is the Brei Kabbalah, Nevi'im, like Tshah B'Av, but not all of them. But this Kippur, the only one in the Torah. That's why when the Torah said to fast on the 10th of the month, must be the whole day, which is day and night, including night, because the day begins from the beginning of the night. We say Mosefim Mechol HaKodesh, that means the day before sunset. And that's why we say the night and the day are exactly the same. Which means if a person will be delayed part of the night, he's spoiling the whole thing, the whole tani. And then I'm going to fast, he's fasting. But the minute the night began and he did not start with the fast or all the mitzvot of Kippur, the whole Kippur is violated. Same thing with the end. Now, of course, everything that's forbidden to do on Shabbat is forbidden to do on Kippur. Here comes Ibn Hotza'ah, which is there are things En ben Shabbat leYom Tov ela melechet ochel nefesh bilvad. We know that there is a difference between Shabbat and Yom Tov. In general, there is no difference, except with 3 things. What are they? Cooking, putting light on from another light, and carrying from Reshut HaYahid to Reshut HaRabim, and so on. Now, this is the 3 things that permitted on Yom Tov, but on Kippur, even these 3 things are asurim. Even though Kippur is not Shabbat Yom Tov, it's exactly the same law of Shabbat applies to Kippur. Why? Very simple. Why the Torah permitted us to cook? To enjoy ourselves, our food. Fresh, good. You can't eat on Kippur. Why should you cook? Then the same thing with Hotza'ah. The Torah called the Kippur Shabbat Shabbaton. We see that in the every Yom Tov, it's called Shabbat. The day of Shabbat is called Shabbat Shabbaton, double. Because not only Shabbat is the every Yom Tov that you don't do the big melachot, but also you don't do melachot ochel nefesh, so that's why Shabbat Shabbaton. Comes to Kippur, It's called Shabbat Shabbaton. So the Torah called it Shabbat Shabbaton, means equal to the day of Shabbat. And Hatzaah is written on Shabbat. Al Yetzei Ish Mimekomo Bayom HaShivei. And there, Moshe Rabbeinu taught Israel, what do you mean, Al Yetzei Ish? He has to sit in his seat the whole Shabbat? Al Yetzei Ish, the person should not get out with something in his hand, with something in his pocket, with something that has been carrying something with him out. Should not go. Hotza'ah. This one means, Lotapiku. The Targum said, and saying, don't get out. Said, don't take out something. Al Yetzei Ish Mimekomo B'Mashmei, not to take out with him something when he walks out. This is Hotza'ah that's written in Shabbat. And written also in a different place. When they were building the Mishkan, they're bringing the Davot, and Moshe saw that they were bringing already too much, more than what they need, and he made an announcement. What's written there? It's written, Ish ve'isha alya asu od melacha l'melechet ha'kodesh. It's written there not to bring anymore. One of the melachot said, he told them not to bring, which means don't take it from your reshut to bring it here anymore. Because we lo leha'avir b'Shabbat anymore. These are, they were learning Surah Hotza'ah, Gemara Yerushalmina, we learned it from here. But we know that, and Gemara Babli learned it from Al Yetzei Ish Mimekomo Bayom HaShivei. Of course, the penalty is different. Shabbat is Sekila, Yom Kippur is Karet. But that's a very, very big penalty too, which means Bominan, the Neshama Nechreten, the person doesn't deserve to have Olam Haba, if there is violation of the day of Kippur. There are, Chamin Kevin said, things that we did make it forbidden, we allow you sometimes in Kippur certain things. You want to clean the Chana from Shabbat, from Kippur, Matzah Kippur, the women, they come to clean, not to be the vegetables and so on. The Gemara said they permitted them Kippur late afternoon, that they will start cleaning for the Salat and so on. That means not everything. No person is not supposed to eat. Sometimes the doctor telling me he has to eat. If a doctor, a liable doctor, there is safek pikuach nefesh. Even safek is not for sure. But there is doubt, maybe he will be in danger if he will not eat. Then his duty is to eat. But not necessarily to go and eat all what he wants, all day long eat. Don't say, wait a minute. You eat. Have a little common sense. The day of fast, eat a little as much as possible, the littlest that you can. And when you eat, according to the halakha, what an amount that you will eat, it's called, you violate the law of Kippur, with that penalty that the Torah said will apply. Depend. If a person eats kakotevet, the size of a date, yes, then Karkotevet is called Meyashev et da'ato shel adam, who settle his mind. The Torah said, Te'anu et nefshotechem. You should be suffering from lack of food. If you ate enough to satisfy you, how much is satisfying giving a little less? If you take any food, solid food, in the size of a date, that's considered already, it's a little bit more than Zayit. Now they can say, if this is the fact, therefore, when you eat, eat less than the size of a date. Okay, what do you mean eat less? That's all what I will eat the whole day? Oh no. There is a time that's called eating within a certain amount of time. If you eat less than this date, and then again after that time will pass, you eat again less, and again, Well, how much is that dime? They say, Kede achilat peras. What's achilat peras? You know, there is a mahloket between Rashi and the Rambam. How much is called the time, the meal, a full meal? Rashi says, if you eat any amount of food, solid food, it's equal to 4 eggs, that's called a full meal. Rambam said, if you eat any amount of solid food equal to 3 eggs, not 4, it's called a full meal. And the halakha said, if you eat anything within the time of half a meal, no, the meal is eight eggs or 6 eggs. Half a meal is 4 or 3. Rashi said, half a meal is 4, and Rambam said, is 3. Now, it tells you, if you take that kotevet, you eat it within this time, of enough time to eat 3 eggs or 4 eggs, that's already, you are eating a full a meal. You are eating kotevet. But if you ate half kotevet in this time, then after this time passed, you ate another half. There's no satisfaction with it. And what we advise the sick people, we told them to do that. But the question is, they tell me, Rabbi, how much is that? Tell me this. What time is that by minutes? But this came already to a big argument among the books. We're talking average man, how long takes him to eat 4 or 3 eggs? Then some rabbis, they said, 4 minutes. Some rabbis, they said, no, it's 8 minutes. Some, they went even to 12 minutes. But, of course, we do the humrah, which means we tell them, if we can, tell them 4 minutes. I said, listen, if you eat within 4 minutes, then, but if you can, eat only, wait 8 minutes. You eat less than size of a day. Well, wait 8 minutes. We do not go to the other opinion of 12 minutes, already too much. We tell them 8 minutes. That means if he eats within 8 minutes, I think it's plenty. If he's going to eat every 8 minutes, half of a day, it's good enough, he can eat. But the idea is not to eat all at once. Same thing with drink. Drink, he should not eat 3 ounces at once. Eat less than 3 ounces and wait. And again, less than 3 ounces and wait. This could be done. If the doctor said, no, he must eat so much now and not wait, then there is nothing what to do. But when there is a possibility of waiting and taking it a little of the amount at the time, would be excellent. Won't be something to worry about. Of course, there is another thing. If a person eats a big meal before Kippur, and then came Kippur and he ate again, but then he cannot eat. He's pushing by force. It's not called eating. That eating called when the Torah said eating that you are. Kichol nefesh hashelo ta'one v'nechreta hayav karet. When really it's eating. This is not eating. He's stopping himself, as we said, to commit suicide. Nothing. That's not called eating. That's they call it achila gassa, when you eat one meal after a meal that you're ready to throw up. This is not called eating. There is no karet. What is the shiur of a man that a person, I said before, 3 ounces, or they say mouthful. If a person puts mouthful of drink in his mouth, this is that he should not have it once. Now this is achila ushtiyah. Go to rahitza. What's rahitza? A person on Kippur is not supposed to take a shower or to wash even part of his, except netilah. Now the netilah, there is an argument every day. How much netilah a person should make? Till the knuckles or till the wrist? Of course, since there is a mahloket, what do we do? We do till the wrist, the whole hand. When it comes Kippur, so wait a minute. You make netilah, only till the knuckle. They don't know it. Look how careful they were. that you should not wet this only to lay, because Kippur is so important not to wash. Now, let Netilah, they say, after you wash, if it is a little bit wet, not too much, you pass it over your eyes. That means like cleaning it a little. Again, they to show you how important it was not to take a little water to put on your eyes. Then we are talking something that went into details of it, what to do and not to do, how important it is not to have a chitza. However, a person got dirty. All those days, they used to go to the bathroom. They didn't use toilet papers like today. The toilet paper. The person is dirty. It's not clean enough. Okay, you pray. And the person is not clean enough. They used to wash themselves. That washing is okay. Suppose a person, his hand got dirty. Can't he wash his hand? Of course, how would he pray? Washing. That's called, which the chitza, the Torah forbid, the chitza, the Shem Ta'anug. That's for his enjoyment, pleasure. But the chitza that comes only to take the dirt off and that, it's nothing, or sometimes it is, a person has certain boils in his body or something, requires that you put water on it or something. Then they permitted him. This is, as I said, that's not the chitza the Shem Ta'anug, the chitza for a purpose of something. Now, they permitted those days. A person was going to go to Rasha for Rabbi. He wanted to listen. And he had to go through the water and walk in the water. They permitted them to walk in the water. Because this is, again, not the chitza for Ta'anu. But just to go to... Sometimes he's being bothered by that walk to go into the water.
It could happen today if we have a big rainstorm and you have puddles and everything.
Yeah. But today if we go with our boots, with our dad, they don't go barefoot. Nobody's going. The Gemara said, Rabbi Hanan said, my clothes are more important than my body. He said, the clothes that are my honor and respect. He used to be very, very sharp with his clothing. And all of a sudden, they saw him walking once in a field. He picked up his clothes, and he walked in the field barefoot with the skin being scratched and bleeding with what? Thorns that they were there. I said, what the hell are they doing? Why do you pick up the clothes and protect your foot? No. These clothes is very important. The garment is important for me. We'll get spot, we'll be in all kinds of spoilage with that thorns. Terrible. Cannot become good. But my skin, it doesn't matter. Probably now it will heal. Tomorrow will be okay. Can you imagine how important was the garment? Well, not mass production that we live today. Garment don't mean anything. And there were certain communities, if he had a colorful shirt, look at the colors today. What's colors? It's a joke. Masquerade party, they put the colors. What was? I want salad today, they tell you. In those days, he must be a very rich man. Look, he has here line another color. How did he get it? Huh? Because everything used to be handmade. And then, Osher Gadol was translation that they put Ketonet Tapasim Yosef was a colorful shirt. Colorful means many colors. He had was a big thing. But this is we say the garment were such an important thing. All this we came walking. We come to Sicha. Rechitza Sicha. What is Sicha? We said, applying perfume, makeup, putting all kind of things. He puts on his hair. He wants to put, he wants to look nice. He's a young man, handsome. And after all, they put a show today in the shul. They have to look good. Yeah. Of course, they don't put show the man, the ladies, but he wants the ladies also to seem good. Yeah. But if he's a single, there's no question. Alan, let's go see you. But, I'm not talking about the married ones. The married ones don't worry so much. Of course, Nailat HaSandar. The question Nailat HaSandar, if there is a lot of, now, what they call, I don't know, the man-made leather, what it's made from. I'm sure there is a mixture of leather and synthetic parts in it. I don't know the man-made leather, what it's made from. Is there leather in it or not?
Sure.
Yeah. Man-made leather there is. Mm-hmm. And what's the difference then between the leather and the man-made leather? Of course there is. Man-made leather is not pure leather. Definitely not. That's why they sell it cheap today. Man-made leather like a leather?
No.
No. What's the difference between them?
One is man-made and one is natural leather from the animal.
Actual leather. And the man-made leather, what's made from?
Actually, from plastic.
Plastic?
From polyurethane.
Then why do you call it man-made leather? Leather.
To look like.
The plastic, they would say.
Right.
Made to look like.
Huh?
Yeah. Looks like. Make it look
just
good.
For the look?
So better than plastic.
I thought maybe there's a mixture on it.
Made to look like.
Which means would be a big difference in the law now, if it is leather or not. The question was, many places they had certain things that there was no leather sold. There was rubber. And the top is leather. So surely the top leather is also it's considered leather and Ailat HaSandar. They used to have only one strip of leather and then the bottom was wood or different thing. Then can be said also no good. Which means even if we have small part on the top of the foot, leather is not alive.
Well, we definitely have that. The sneakers today have leather.
The good sneakers.
Yeah, Reeboks, and they definitely have leather. Right?
Why did you get Reeboks? Reeboks is the best. Not even Reeboks. New Balance is better.
So you definitely can't wear them.
I never knew what it is. Till now that I walk, and the doctor ordered me to walk. I walk every day. And I walked with my shoes. Somebody said, Rambo, you are doing wrong. What are you doing? You don't walk with your shoes. What do you want me to walk? Sneakers. I took sneakers. I said, with these sneakers you walk. You hurt your foot. What do you want me to walk? He said, no. One said, I'll get you. They got me. I hated it. It hurt my foot. Then someone said, Rabbi, get a New Balance. We told Alan, what's a New Balance? You know, of course I know. He said, Rabbi, I have them. So I wore them all my life, he said. New one, okay, we got New Balance. And this is, they are very, very comfortable. I don't know if they are leather. They are leather? They are on Kippur, I can't wear them. Okay. We won't walk there, on Kippur. Anyhow, we wouldn't be able to walk. Now this is, they were saying, Ailat HaSandar, and they said the other things already, Dabar Aher, that's not allowed. That the main thing then the prayers we come, what are the prayers of Kippur? That our rabbis chose the reading of the Torah for Kippur. Okay, the morning we know Aharimot. Why? I said that Bnei Aharon died on Kippur. And not only that, the whole service of Kippur, it's written in Aharimot. What is the day? What do you do on the day of Kippur? They tell the Kohen Gadol exactly what he has to do. The Korbanot that he does, that's Anyan Hayom. They talk about Kippur. We understand. Comes in the afternoon. So do you know what you read? You read the Parasha of Arayot. What has to do with Kippur? I said, oh, look. At the very end of the day of Kippur, they want to warn you about most tempting things that people go run for it. Arayot is the worst thing. That's why they read the parasha of the Arayot. דבר שהנפשו של האדם מחמדתו, the person runs after it, and that's what they look for, Arayot. Today they don't look even. They don't want to look at a woman, they want to look at a man. But this is also part of the Arayot. This is what it's telling you. That means it's so true, so important. They tell you, this is the time that they were worried, the rabbis. The man will leave now, the first avon that he is going to do right away, thinking of Arayot. And that's why they gave us the reading of the Torah. Of course, we mentioned before that there is a bidui in every prayer. But there is Seder Avodah. Seder Avodah, that during the time of Bet HaMikdash was done by practice that a Kohen was doing. But today we don't have Bet HaMikdash. What do? We pray, Shalema Parim Sifatenu. Comes the Hazan instead of Kohen Gadol. And he prays. It's so important that a person will understand what goes on in Seder Avodah. So they want to know the meaning of what they do. Okay. Ahad, ahad ve'ahad, ahad v'shtam. What means ahad ve'ahad? Say, shtayim. Ahad ve'ahad is two. What do you say ahad ve'ahad? Ahad v'shtayim. Ahad v'shtayim. Put shalosh. Ahad ve'ahad. But all these three are talking about sprinkling the blood. When they sprinkle the blood, they sprinkle it towards this way, like a semicircle, up, and goes down towards the parochet. When he went towards the parochet, one he was aiming to go to the upper part of the parochet. And he does one. Then seven to the lower part of the parochet. But when he comes, the first one is a hat. Then when he goes to the lower part, also a hat stand. But you can't say a hat, will be confused with the first one. A hat ve a hat. One up and one down. Then ahad mushtaim. The ahad stays there. Ahad b'shalosh. There is ahad on the top, and then here, shalosh at the bottom. And so on. Ve'lo ayam ze lo lema'ala ve'lo lemata. Not direct. Ela kemat sleep. What's matzim? Person takes a whip and he hits with it. How is that? A semicircle goes. That is how he threw the blood. And a person would see what there is in the Seder Avodah. When they read it, because when we read and we understand it, it's actually like we are doing it. That's what the Kadosh Baruch Hu said. When you do this, you do all Vezot Yavo Aharon El HaKodesh before Ben Bokal HaHatat, along with all these conditions we'll do, then Ki Bayom Hazeh Yechaper Alechem Netar Etchem Kach Totachem Neshem Tan. Then comes the Kapara. Then if this is the Kapara comes, then when we say it, we have to realize what we are saying. And they used to sit down. I remember, I used to, myself in the yeshiva when I used to take the Gemara, Yoma, first of all, read the Mishnayot and understand them. Like they used to go to Mahazor. There is a Mahazor that one very great rabbi wrote it at the beginning of this century. Yaakov Garji, his name was. He called it Ahole Yaakov. When I was young, I was so anxious to buy that book, I couldn't find it. It was out of print. Nobody had it, only in homes. Some people had it. Baruch Hashem, for 40 years, I couldn't get that book. They reprinted it now, and then I have it. I bought right away a couple sets. I gave, I think, one to my son, one for myself. And beautiful. He explains the whole Seder Avodah. He explains every prayer. I remember when I was a child, they asked me a question. One rabbi came to me and said, well, you go to yeshiva. You know, yeah, I want to ask you a question. You know the tenses, don't you? I said, of course. Avar, hove, atid. I said, well, that's the order. Avar, past, present, future. And why do we say Hashem Melech in this order? Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach. Shemino Malach means Avar or Avar, past, Yimlof, future. What do you say then, Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach? I should say Hashem Malach. Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch. And I said, oh, no, you're wrong. So I wrong? Why? I said, Melech is not present. What do you mean? I said, Melech is a past. Yimloch is future. But Melech is not present. And then what is it? He said, present Molech. I told him. I said, Melech is a title and adjective. Melech is a king. Very, very true. He said, they looked at me. Said, can you prove it? Said, yes, in Selichot. So, I said, Rabbi, look at the poem over there. After we say Hashem Melech and Selichot, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, we said what? Ve'ad lo asa eretz v'chutzot, Hashem Melech. Before he created the world, Hashem Melech. On whom? But Melech means his title. But, v'hachino yitzurim alei aratzot, when he created man, Hashem Malach. V'et yekabetz nefutzim me'arbat nefutzot, the end of days, Hashem Yimloch, everybody would realize that he is a Melech, everyone. He said, come on, I'll show you something. He brought that book on the Yaakov to me. He was showing me the whole thing. Well, he asked me and I answered. I remember he picked me up. I was young. I was 9 years old. He picked me up. He kissed me. He said, come on, I'll show you a book. He showed me that book on the Yaakov. That's exactly the word by word. What I was telling him. Ya'alav Hashem HaKhamben Hazan. He was the Menahel of Parat Yosef Yeshiva. Which means, pay attention, so important to the, nobody would think about it. What does it mean, Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach? We think always, this is Melech, the present, Malach.